Great, thank you. Tim, can you hear me? Hear me all right? Okay, welcome everyone. Lovely to see the place just gradually filling up, and hence the new series, Better Together. We need to just talk about how it's important that we're getting back together, and it falls to me to launch this new series. And my opening sort of salvo is, and I hope this doesn't sound too much like a moan, that's not my intention. My intention, to me, sometimes you reach a certain age, don't you, and you're in danger of being labelled a grumpy old man. And I hope my fellow elders don't think that of me. They probably do. Oh, Carney, he so sweetly shakes his head to say no. Thank you, Carney. Bless you. You're very kind. But there is a danger that as you grow older, you become a little bit grumpier and you become, things weren't like that in my day. Do you know what I mean? And those were the good old days. And that is a danger. But what I want to talk about is just increasingly, I feel that we're becoming both isolated and individualistic as a society. Individualistic and isolated, whichever way round. I just think there's a real danger and a drift in that direction. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, and I'm just going to very quickly go through that, and then we'll go to the positive bit, which is the scripture, and how scripture addresses that. But here are some of the reasons why we're becoming a bit isolated and individualistic. The first thing that I've put down is the English temperament. The English temperament has a tendency towards being individualistic and isolated. Don't share your emotions too much. Just talk about the weather. Yeah, there's an amazing amount of talking about the weather out there, isn't there? You bump into someone and everyone becomes a sort of meteorological expert, don't they? In terms of, is it sunny, is it cloudy, is it going to rain, is it not going to rain? And it's almost as if we're experts on talking about just really light and fluffy issues. And we find it really hard to get beyond that. We find it hard to move on to serious issues, and we find it hard to move on to emotional issues, and we find it hard to discuss stuff that's really meaningful. Yeah, and I think that's sort of in our temperament, that we find it tricky to do that. And so I think that's our first weakness. It is getting a bit chilly in here, actually. Do we need the air conditioning on? If we could just sort of turn it down a bit, that would be great. So the first thing is the English temperament. The second thing that's making us isolated and individual is technology. Technology is causing us to go in on ourselves. Have you noticed that with yourself? Have you noticed with your iPhone, with your laptop, with your, that increasingly time is spent looking at technology and causing us to be in on ourselves? I put here, is there a danger that we can meet all our needs through technology? Now, we can, in terms of finance and making money, in terms of our emotional needs, in terms of just about every need is available on computer. And that means a danger of us being lost in cyberspace, yeah, of us actually detaching from people and becoming more attached to a virtual world. Now, I think, you get films that sort of make a big deal of this. But I think it's a real danger. I think it's a real danger for me. So that's my second thing in terms of why we're becoming more isolated and individualistic. The third and biggie is COVID. COVID has exaggerated the trend, if that makes sense. COVID has a whole load of words attached to it that are all about isolation. Self-isolation is a new word, isn't it? Furlough is about time alone. Quarantine. Yeah, all these words are words that support isolation. Yeah, now listen, don't get me wrong, we've had a necessity to do that in terms of what's been going on. But actually, I feel that COVID has just exaggerated a trend that is already in our society. So we have a temperament that has a tendency towards isolation. We have technology that drives us towards isolation. We have COVID that drives us towards isolation. And this is a risky one, but dare I say, even our Protestant heritage can drive us towards isolation. And that's the whole Protestant thing about salvation as an individual exercise. and individual sort of devotions and individual worship. And have you noticed a really dangerous drift in our worship from we to I? Many of the songs we now sing are about I, about my worship as an individual to God, and a neglect of the we. Yeah, actually, in the olden days of the charismatic movement, there were quite a few we songs, yeah, in terms of corporate worship. But increasingly, worship is being driven in an individualistic direction. And I think that's dangerous. I think that's really dangerous. We come to worship. Yeah, we come as the community of God's people. I'm going to talk about that later. I'm not saying this to be critical. I think I suffer from all of these things myself. I was just thinking of examples. Do you mean when Stephen and Heather, we met and in order to discuss them moving? And do you mean it was one of the most ridiculously practical meetings I've ever been to? We sat down and we drew up a list of all the things that we needed to do. And I think I was very deadpan and emotionless, wasn't I? And it was just literally a sort of tick box exercise to find out how we were going to get all their jobs done. And that, I was really sad after that, actually. I thought, hang on a minute, where's the emotion in terms of them going? Where's the relationship? And, you know, and I know they'll come and visit and all the rest of it. But actually, you know, there's a scripture that talks about, you know, Paul left and the Ephesians wept. Yeah, and they cried and they begged him not to go. Did I beg you not to go? I don't know whether I should have begged you not to go. But they begged him not to go. Well, here's me begging now. Please don't go. But it's a bit too late for that, isn't it? But do you get what I'm saying? There's almost that sense of let's try and just keep emotion at arm's length. And I think that's a bit sad, actually. So here I'm an offender in terms of the English temperament. I'm an offender in terms of technology and being sucked into technology and just spending a lot of time on laptops and mobile phones. I've also been afraid of COVID. Yeah, I suffered from it really badly and had to go into hospital for a week, for goodness sake. So there was a fear associated with that. And in many respects, a need to isolate. But we need to be careful in terms of does that fear drive us apart? Does that fear mean that we're not together? And I'm going to comment on the latest situation. I know that there's more fear around a third wave and a Delta variant. I get that. I get that there's fear attached to that. I do happen to think that we'll ride through that and we'll carry on opening up. I think we need to be careful about fear, and we need to be careful about fear controlling our behaviour. I mean, the Bible does say, let us not forget meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as you see the day approaching. And yes, COVID can affect that, but we shouldn't allow it to control it. Does that make sense? We shouldn't be controlled by our fear. So what I want to do is, as part of this Better Together series, I want to look at a key scripture, which is Acts 2, 42 to 47. I have likened it to my little crown. Here's my little crown that I bought from a party shop in Staines. It's my cheapest prop I've ever purchased. Cost me £1.99. And now I know why. Because it's broken. So what I can do, I think, is I can keep it in its plastic wrapper, actually. And if I keep it in its plastic wrapper, then I can form the crown. It could still work as a prop. So bear with me a second while I do that. So here's my slightly misshaped crown, which I'll just put. Yeah, that sort of works, doesn't it? So, for the cameras. Pose, regal, wise. Yeah, happy? All good. Okay, so here's my crown. And this scripture is a bit like a crown, is what I'm going to say, yeah? So what you've got is you've got the gems. You've got the gems, which are the key points within the scripture, which I'm going to talk about. And then you've got the circle of gold that surrounds it. What I'll do is I'll read the scripture and then I'll sort of spot out the sort of metaphor for you. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's possibly one of the most influential church scriptures you could read, yeah, because it literally is the ingredients for church life. So you have the jewels, yeah, so you have jewel number one, which is prayer. You have jewel number two, which is the word. You have jewel number three, which is worship. You have a jewel which is witness. Do you see, you have these key jewels. In fact, it's a bit like, do you remember Jewel in the Crown? Those oldies used to watch Jewel in the Crown, which was a series on television. And I think the Crown was the British Empire, which stretched around the globe, a sort of massive pink. I've no idea why the British Empire was pink as opposed to any other colour. Perhaps a sort of mixture of socialism and something else, who knows. But it was a sort of pink that went round the globe, and the jewel was India, in fact, and the jewel in the crown was all about India, and apparently India is and was the jewel in the crown. But no longer, obviously, India is now an independent country which is doing better than we are in many respects, economically, although sadly not so much on a COVID level. But do you get the picture? There's a jewel in the crown. Here are the jewels in the crown that is the church. Yeah? And the interesting thing about the crown is the fellowship in which the jewels are encased. Yeah? And so what we have is, if we look at it again, we look at the scripture, we have apostles' teaching, which is the word. We have, for example, breaking of bread, which I think in the first section is communion. In the second section, not so sure, because the Greek is slightly different. We have prayer. We have signs and wonders as another jewel. We have witness. Yeah? And all of these things are encased in fellowship. Does that make sense? I hope my metaphor is working for you. I hope you're understanding where I'm coming from. I just want to quickly go through some of the jewels and talk about why they're so important. I'm going to put my crown down there to remind me. So first jewel is the word. Yeah? We want to be a Bible-preaching, word-focused church. Yeah? And that means that whenever we preach, the word always comes first. The word is the key thing. The word of God, that's scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. We want to have that as the prime thing that we preach from. We don't want to preach from our own thoughts. We don't want to preach from our idea of current societal trends. We don't want to preach from popular psychology. We don't want to preach from views on society. We want to preach from the word of God. Yeah, Malcolm talked about, didn't he, being well under the circumstances, didn't he, Lyle? Do you remember? And he said, what are you doing under the circumstances? That's absolutely right. What are you doing under the circumstances? But brothers and sisters, in terms of the word, we need to be under the word. Yeah, too many people, too many Christians even, place themselves above or alongside the word. They think they know better. Yeah, they think the word is perhaps obsolete. They think that changes in society mean that the word is somehow defective. And we need to be ever so careful in terms of that trend, is what I would say. We need to be ever so cautious. And I would even suggest that when a society is screaming one thing and shouting one thing and almost being bullying in terms of one area, and the word of God disagrees with that, we submit to the word of God. We don't submit to the society that surrounds us. And I think that that is going to become increasingly difficult and increasingly hard as time goes by for us as Christians. I think that there's going to be incredible pressure for us to cave in terms of key areas in which society is saying something is right. And we as Christians are having to disagree with that and say, no, actually, we don't. Why? Not because we know better, but because we are under the Word of God. And the Word of God has an authority. And so also, can I just say that the Word of God is really important in terms of our own lives. It's really important that it checks us out in terms of speaking in all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That is as true now as it always has been. And it will always speak into our lives, and it will always offer correction, and it will always put us on the straight and narrow, and it will always sort us out in a good way. Yeah, not a judgmental way, not a condemning way, but in a good way, a way that leads to health, a way that leads to righteousness, a way that leads to connection. And so the Word, if you like, is the sort of the bridge of I hate to mix my metaphors, apologies to Mr. Morrissey, who hates the mixing of metaphors, but the Word is like the bridge of a ship. It puts us on a true direction. Yeah, and then we move on to prayer. Prayer is more like the engine room of a ship. Yeah, without prayer, the ship doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, and I hugely value the prayer that goes on in this church. Yeah, I hugely value Carney and Mike, who have driven that, and many of you actually who have driven that Monday evening prayer meeting, where we get a chance to lift up key issues in the life of the church, and we get a chance to really pray about them. And we get a chance to seek God, and we get a chance to seek his face. And we also have prophetic words that sort of filter through and then filter through different areas, yeah? Absolutely vital that we have that engine room of the church that is prayer, that drives us forward, yeah? And, you know, without prayer, nothing will succeed. It really is that simple. Without prayer, you know, you can have lots of fancy systems, and you can have everything beautifully organized, and you can have all sorts of wonderful things in place. But without prayer, it won't go forwards. Yeah, literally the engine won't move the ship forward. And that's why prayer is so important. But we can always build on it as well. Can I just encourage us in terms of that Monday evening Zoom prayer meeting? We need to probably publish the stats and encouragement every week in the notice sheet and say, get in there and get praying. And that doesn't mean you have to go every week. I mean, it might be that you join us when you can, yeah? But really good to pray together. And worship. It's important to worship together. This is my third gem. Yeah, we need to give God all the glory. We need to do that collectively. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's frustrating wearing masks and not being able to sing. But actually, I think being together and worshipping our hearts, and also you can worship physically. You can raise your hands. You can, you can even do a little jig if you're of a mind. Yeah, you can just dance on the spot. You can, great to have a little time of reflective worship as well. Well done for introducing that. That was really good, where we sort of have a time all of these things we do together. And it's better together. So I'll just speak to camera and say, yes, you can worship at home in your kitchen, and that's lovely. And we would encourage it as being preferable to no worship at all. But it's even better to come and worship with God's people and be together. And that corporate worship, which is so important. Piper describes worship as a joyful feast. And he even uses an example. He says, a husband takes his wife out for a wedding anniversary dinner. It's actually my wife's birthday today, actually, so I'm wondering what I'm going to do for her. But anyway, that's by the by. A husband takes his wife out for a wedding or birthday dinner. Apologies, Ruthie. Yeah. Does she want to hear that it's his duty to do this, or does she want to hear that it's his joy and his privilege? I think we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Yeah? It's not we have to do it. Oh, I'm taking you out on this anniversary dinner, darling, because I have to. Because, you know, if I don't, then everyone in the church will think I'm a, you know, whatever. Yeah? No, it's a joy. And it's the same with worship, isn't it? It's our joy to come together and worship. Yeah, it's our joy. I do remember always over the last few weeks just coming together do you mean even a couple of weeks ago I sadly slipped up on our rules and regs and started singing until I suddenly remembered, oh, I can't do this. Yeah, why? Because the Spirit bubbles up in us. Yeah, and we want to worship and we want to be together and we want to worship amongst God's people. And so it's a feast. It's a feast. Piper is absolutely right. It is a feast. And my last couple of gems that are sort of linked together are signs and wonders and witness. They're important too, actually. We need to be praying for people to get well. We need to be praying for the sick. We need to be praying for deliverance from people tied to all manner of addictions and difficulties. We need to pray for release. We need to pray for freedom. We need to be out there, how shall I put it, performing signs and wonders. That's really strange for me to say that, doesn't it? But actually it's true. Do you remember Malcolm reminded us, we don't have to have a label, we don't have to be high up, we don't have to be someone special, we don't have to be, yet we can literally get out there and pray for people when we're prompted to do so by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And I'm going to pray for that right now. Lord, I pray that for everyone here today that we would have that A, prompting, and B, opportunity to be able to say to someone, can I pray for you? If someone's got a dodgy leg or someone's got a heart or someone's not getting over COVID or if someone's in a difficult situation, Lord, I pray that we would have the faith to say, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your sad situation, your desperate situation. I want to, in a sense, join the power of God to your situation. I want to include him in on the mix. Help us to be able to do that. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. We've seen amazing miracles over the years, haven't we? We've seen where people have prayed and we've seen amazing things. There's one example I want to say, but I haven't had the permission of the person to say it, so I won't. But you know, just looking at someone here, do you remember we've seen some amazing miracles, haven't we? Yeah, in terms of prayer leading to miraculous things. Too easy to forget about that. It's too easy to say, oh, you know, did it happen? Or let's just brush it aside. Yeah? But can I just say, when you pray in faith, miracles happen. Yeah? And we need to be really up for it in terms of, in faith, in terms of difficult situations. I still remember, and this is really, doing Nicky Gumbel doing his little prayer list, and he had this prayer list in terms of a couple that you know, were going through a divorce and they were separating, and I think the husband came to him and he prayed daily and he would write it in his little prayer diary and he'd pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. And then over a period of time, and he had specific requests as well. His requests were, I pray that they're reunited. I pray that they both come to Christ. I pray that they're both involved in a church. And precisely that happened. Do you remember the story? It's on the Alpha thing. It's on the Alpha course. On the prayer section, and he goes through his little prayer diary, and he's able to tick the things. Yep, so and so became a Christian. So and so's wife became a Christian. They met. They decided to go to, I think it was a Louis Palau or a Billy Graham rally. They both gave their lives to Christ at the rally, and he was just ticking down his little. Little sort of tick box of stuff, and then I think he then went and asked the wife, did you get wet at the rally, which was a sort of key way of finding out whether she'd actually made a commitment to Christ, because apparently you go out onto the field and in doing so you get wet because it was a rainy evening. Do we remember this? Some of us may do, some of us don't. And then he wrote a lovely bit in terms of, you know, this all answered. Praise God. Yeah? And so there needs to be that prayer and also that faith to push for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders is an odd term. We need to normalize that term a little. We need to push for God to supernaturally intervene and change stuff, yeah, in a way that is just brings delight to everyone. Yeah? And then share stories of that happening. And so here we have the gems then. We've been through the gems, we've been through the word, we've been prayer, we've done worship, we've done witness. And all of these are encased in the gold that is the crown. And the gold is fellowship. Yeah. So if you look at the scripture, the whole scripture has these key elements. Yeah, but it also has an infusion of words that are all about fellowship. Yeah, and if you just look through it, if we could have it up again, you know, there's words like they, themselves, fellowship, everyone, all the believers are together. Reminds me that we want to be together. In fact, Tim talked about being together, didn't he, earlier on? In common, they met together. Broke bread, I think this is about just meals together. Yeah, in homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, all about fellowship. Do you get the whole togetherness that infuses that picture of the early church? It's literally just word after word after word after word after word is about togetherness. Yeah, it's about being together. It's about the importance of fellowship. And it's about just coming back to be together. And so, I'll make no bones about this. A key part of this series and our drive in this series is to draw the church back in and to draw the church back into being together. Yeah, and being in fellowship with one another. And the danger is, you see, that people will see this as being a sort of key leadership responsibility. And indeed, I and a few of us within the eldership team have been reaching out and trying to draw people in. Yeah, and yes, we have a responsibility, but I am going to use this morning as an opportunity to share out that responsibility and actually say we all have a role to play in terms of drawing people back into the community of believers and back into fellowship. We all have an opportunity, and so I've called this corporate drive Reach Out to Help Out. Reach Out to Help Out. Do you like it? It's a little bit of a play on the Eat Out to Help Out tag that was rather sadly introduced last summer and led to a massive spike in COVID cases and got poor Rishi into all sorts of trouble. But I'm re-tagging it as Reach Out to Help Out. And the idea is what we do is we gently come alongside people and we just find out what issues are, what concerns are, and we just gently talk to them about that and we just sort of companion them. And it's a bit like planes circling a field, some stacked up above Heathrow Airport, and some planes will perhaps come into lander a little bit earlier and some planes might be a little bit sort of delayed in terms of landing due to, minor details. And some may have bigger issues in terms of their delays to coming into land. But the important thing is that we all take the role of coming alongside people and just helping them to come into land. Does that make sense? And so what I really want to do is say, come on, guys, let's get involved as a body of believers, as a corporate group, in terms of reaching out to help out. Yeah, and helping people overcome their all sorts of weird and wonderful issues to do with coming into land. In fact, I've even got an example, an interesting example of what's called a talked down landing. A talked down landing is basically where there's someone who doesn't know how to fly something and is told everything in terms of coming into land. And this is an amazing example, which occurred on April the 2nd, 2012. Helen Collins, an 80-year-old grandmother, was forced to take the controls of her husband's Cessna and landed at Door Country Cherryland Airport, rather oddly called KSUE, which doesn't even remotely match the DCCA of the Door County Cherryland Airport. But anyway, after her husband had a massive heart attack and died at the controls. Can you imagine if you're flying in a plane and you're aged 80 and your husband, who is sitting next to you, and it's a nice romantic flight, and you're probably enjoying the beautiful scenery, and suddenly he drops dead. Yeah? It's not a great scenario, is it? So we read on with interest. She managed to circle the airfield and call 911 on her cell phone. The emergency dispatcher contacted the Federal Air Aviation Authority, who got in touch with air traffic control, and a KSUE-based private pilot named Robert Yuksonovich took off and joined her in formation. Amazing. So there she is, 80-year-old grandmother circling with a pilot in formation. Yeah, and then what happened was, he flew her wing on several practice approaches to the runway. So there are a number of sort of attempts to sort of look at coming into land and consider landing, but not actually landing. Does that make sense? And I feel that's important, actually. I think we need to help people to sort of consider landing, yeah, and talk them through the issues about landing, yeah. And several practice approaches prior to the landing attempt. And then finally, on landing the Cessna 414, it skidded on the runway, came to a stop in the grass, and broke the nose gear off. But Helen survived with only minor injuries. Praise God. Yeah. And rather sadly, her husband was pronounced dead on the scene. Yeah. But do you get the picture? The picture is to fly alongside people in this reach out to help out. Yeah, and to chat to them, and to communicate with them, and to look at issues and fears in terms of, you know, landing and the difficulties of landing, and some of the issues of landing. And why don't we sort of just have a little think, a little practice attempt, or do you mean, you know? And so can I encourage us to do things like walks by the river? There's a lovely stretch down at Wharton Bridge, going both ways. You can walk both ways from Wharton Bridge. And have a nice little talk, and there are various coffee shops, along the way. And it's a great opportunity to just chat to people and reach out and gently encourage them. And can I just say that doesn't just apply to Christians returning. Do you mean it also applies to those who might be developing an interest in the faith? Yeah, so mix up your reach out to help out with people who are exploring the faith. I know a few people in that situation, and I've been spending time with them, and it's really good to do. There are a lot of people, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, there are a lot of people who are really hurting post-COVID. Relationships are in trouble, health is in trouble, all sorts of things in trouble, and we believe that God has an answer to that, don't we? We believe that God has a solution in Christ Jesus. I think it's really important to come alongside people and pastor them as a first stage to then moving to introduction to Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, and I find increasingly people are needing pastoring. I'd call it pastoral evangelism. Yeah, and again, I'd encourage us to engage in it with a view to sometime having permission through that depth of sharing and through that depth of relationship to actually then say, I'd like to introduce you to Christ. I'd like to introduce you to the person who, in a sense, has backed up all my advice that I've been giving you previously. Does that make sense? Yeah, in terms of, advice. I won't say too much more because it might give stuff away, and I'd hate to do that. Can I just encourage us to think about doing that? Yeah, reach out to help out. Yeah, I'm not sure how much more I'm going to say on that. I think I'd like to just encourage us to in a sense just really take that bit on board and to say, I don't usually get really specific in terms of asking the church to do something. Yeah, I don't usually get really nitty-gritty. And I don't usually say, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it, and even here's the detail of it. But I'm going to do that now, and I'm going to do that today. I'm going to say, this is important, and this is stuff that we need to get involved in. Yeah, can I just speak to camera as well and just say to people at home, I understand your fears and your concerns in terms of coming back. I understand all the different worries that you may have. I get that you may not feel that we're doing it right, that there may be something in the process that you may not be happy with. Yeah, we are learning. We do our best. Yeah, and some are feeling that we're too lenient, and some are feeling that we're probably too, strict. And so we do our best. But don't use that as an excuse not to come back and fellowship with the church. is what I would encourage you to do. Yeah. We need to come back, and dare I say it, between now and September, that's the season for drawing the church back in, and moving the church back into situation. And then from September, we will be looking at mission. And we'll be looking at, and now we need to take the gospel to our local community. And we need to see people saved. And we need to sort of, you know, have that core of believers doing this important stuff in Acts 2, 42 to 47. Yeah, and then trusting in God that as we do that stuff and as we reach out and as we get these core bits of the puzzle right, we see growth and we see the Lord adding. Yeah. I do think that Lord adding daily to those who are being saved, we need to be careful not to be too passive in that. I don't think it's simply that if you get these bits in place, then, you know, the Lord will add in. I think there is still an element of outreach. Does that make sense? There were signs and wonders taking place. The apostles were approaching people in the street and saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. Yeah, and then saying, you know, rise up. And yeah, there was that sense of engaging with the community. And so that continues to need to happen, as well as getting the core aspects of Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47 in place. And the final thing I'll share is just fascinating. I was just sort of engaged meeting different people, and I was sort of coming home, just getting ready to finish the day. And for the first time in quite a while, I felt the Holy Spirit really strongly say to me, reach into the glove compartment and put on a CD. And I want you to listen really carefully to the chorus line of the first track. As I said, it's been a while since that's happened to me. And so I did. And the chorus to the first line was Together We Cry. Together We Cry. And I thought, what is that about, Lord? And I felt God say, Together we cry at a nation that is in such desperate trouble. We cry at a world that has completely lost touch with God, is completely going its own way, is completely choosing to do what it feels is right in its own sight, is completely disconnecting from God. And I felt God say, together we cry about that. Together we cry about a church that is incredibly slow to come back. Statistics are suggesting that most churches will lose between 20 and 30% of their congregations as a result of COVID. That, I think, is tragic. Yeah, and some of that will be transfer growth, but a lot of that will be just people drifting away because of this sort of nominal faith and not willing to engage in terms of doing life together as Christians. And again, I think that's tragic. I think God cries over his church that can be so nominal at times. Yeah, together we cry. Together we cry at the sadness that we've had to cope with over the last year, as we've seen loved ones pass on, as we've seen people in real pain and suffering as a result of COVID, as we've seen all sorts of pain and loss that members of our community have been through. Yeah, we need to, and I felt God say, we need to continue to mourn that. Let's not be too quick to move on, I felt God say. Let's not be too quick to say, oh, back to action, back to, yeah. Together we cry. And I just felt a sense of God's emotional identification in pain, yeah, and also his own pain that exceeds our pain in certain areas. I think he probably cries far more over a lost world than we probably do, if the truth be known. There's a famous story about the guy who led the Salvation Army, and one of his captains was not experiencing any success out on the mission field, and he wrote a long report to... I forgot the name of the guy who founded the. This is not an unprepared illustration, and so this long report came in, and the guy responded with just two words: "Try tears. Try tears." Do you mean if we're going to reach out to people, we have to emotionally identify with them. We have to emotionally identify with their lostness, with their pain, with the tragedy of sin, with a tragedy of circumstance, yeah, and we need to have that own pain, and we need to, in a sense, own it for ourselves if we're going to be in any way motivated to reach out. And so, as I said, I was a bit surprised by that word, and it may be a fluke, but I'm trusting that God was trying to show me something about his heart. Yeah, his heart for the nation, his heart for the church, his heart for the situation in which we find ourselves. Yeah, and I'd apply that to young and older life. I'd say the same is true in schools. You young people who are here this morning, you know, your schools are a real battleground now in terms of values, in terms of beliefs, in terms of what people are saying about sexuality, about all sorts of issues, where you are going to find it a real battleground and find it really hard to hold on to your Christian views. But God would say, I want to strengthen you in that. I want to give you the ability to do that. I want to give you the belief in yourself that you can do that, and that you will gain the respect of your peers, and even that you can reach out and invite them to a relationship with Christ. So I don't want to end on a down note. God reigns, and he reigns supreme, and he's in charge. Yeah, but I believe that we need to identify with him in terms of these core things. And so I'm going to leave with this idea. Let's reach out to help out. Let's reach out to help out cautious Christians that are coming back in. Let's reach out to help out people in the world around us that we can form a relationship with and we can draw into a relationship with Christ. Yeah, can you be with me on this? Is that okay? Can you say, yes, we're willing to give this a shout? Yeah, yes, we're willing to give this a go. Yeah, we've got a number of areas in the church also that we can do. We've got different gateways where we can reach out to help out in bags of food, where we can reach out to help out at Oak Tree Cafe, where we can, didn't we? So there are different areas where we can be doing this. Yeah, I'm now going to pray, and I'm going to ask that God fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we are empowered and strengthened to do this. So if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to just feel free to sort of raise your arms and be receptive to, at home as well. Lord, as we launch this new season of looking at better together, Lord, I want to pray that each of us will respond to the challenge of reaching out to help out. Lord, that we will respond to the challenge of coming alongside people and helping them to come into land, and talking to them and guiding them and chatting stuff through with them and raising faith rather than despair. Lord, also I pray that we do that with prodigals, people who are, in a sense, haven't been around church for quite a while, people who've been drifting, people who've been conducting isolated faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to reach out and help out them as well. And Lord, finally, people who've never known a faith, people who have all sorts of weird and wonderful beliefs, dare I say it. Lord, again, I would ask that you'd help us to be able to reach out and build relationship and look at opportunities to talk about you and why you make a difference to us and our lives. And why you provide a backbone, and why you provide eternal truths about how we should live our lives that we can then pass on to others. And Lord, I pray that that would then give permission for us to be able to share you. Do you know who inspired those key bits of advice that I gave you? Lord, help us to be able to do that as well. And Lord, help us to see that you reign in heaven. You weep out of a father's compassion. You weep as one in charge. You don't weep as a victim. You weep as one in charge. It says in the Psalms that it talks about leaders having to bow before your leadership. I was just reading a psalm this morning. It was Psalm 2, which talks about rulers kiss the hand of the sun, and just the importance of nations voluntarily submitting themselves to you, Lord God, and to you, Lord Jesus, because there will come a time when everything will be reckoned out, and where this rebellion and this drifting off in a different direction will just have consequences. and will have will be worked out in eternity. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would have a big picture of you as we engage in this project of reclamation. Lord, bless everyone here and bless everyone that's online this morning and everyone that is engaged and wanting to engage in this project. And, Lord, my prayer is that we would see tremendous results. We would see people coming back in. We would see those who are listless and all over the shop. We'd see them with new resolve, new determination. Lord, we would see people becoming genuine disciples rather than sort of drifty disciples. We would see people really wanting to build into the church. We would see a great core that we can then build on. Lord, I ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.